shortwave frequency. It may be good morning to some folks around the world. This is Al Cuppett. I'm filling in for Lou and Elizabeth. They asked me to be your guest host this evening. And we have some subjects to cover. And I'd like to have a prayer first before we start. I always like to seed the word of prayer with on the scriptures. And with that, we'll do that right now. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to be with us this night, this day, wherever this might be, Lord. Bless the listeners, bless the producer, and Lord, bless any who hear it and the network. Be with us this time, Lord, for the glory of Jesus and for his kingdom. And it's for his, in his name we pray, amen and amen. Lou and Elizabeth have asked me to be a host tonight, and they've asked me to cover some subjects, some of which I'm probably very, very qualified to discuss, and maybe some that are not, but if those that are not, I probably won't discuss them much, okay? But I have a scripture for you, and that's from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. And he's talking to Timothy. Paul writes, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that is in emotions and feelings, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And we see those things coming to pass, and in case it might bring a little fear upon you, things I'm going to discuss tonight, for the most part, could lead to some fear, but I would also like to tell you that the Lord has written other scriptures for us, and if you'll get up early and pray and read your King James Bible daily and try to find a fellowship where the folks use the Authorized Version Bible and where they use the hymn book, you can be rest assured you shouldn't have fear. But in case you do, I'll read the scripture from the 41st chapter of Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught." So there you go. Many, many times the Bible tells us, at least 365 times in there somewhere, it says, "Fear not." So they've asked me to present some points out there in this world that are existing now. And I'm going to cover some of them. One of the things they have asked me to talk about is the mark of the beast, technology. For many years, I have carried a microbiochip around on the speaking set, and I've, from 1994 through 2006, I lectured in 130 places, 32 states, and 6 countries. The last lecture took 3 days, that is 5 hours a day, 15 hours with 120 slides. And I had a biochip, and in Hillary's health care plan of 1993, it was referred to as the unique identifier. 3 times it was there. And in Barack Obama's health plan, the biochip is referred to as the RFID chip. Radio frequency identification. By no means should you take it. You can read in Revelation, the 13th chapter, at the end of the chapter, you can read about those who take this mark. Will not be able to buy or sell if you don't take it. So you'd be making some preparations, okay? And Certainly we will have the mark of the beast coming up on us one day, and it's going to be in certainly before a few years are up, okay? Several mothers have told me that their sons have been taking the mark, a chip under their skin in the military. Also, the a Marine Corps mom told me that her son had to take the mark also. So don't be taking the mark, this chip under your skin, no matter what. She also asked me to talk about telephone tapping, and I will do that. I had a friend of mine who went temporary duty to Fort Meade in 1999, and he called me up and told me that, Al, I'm up here, and the classified spaces, now that's a Navy term, I had 19 years joint service, and I was 31 years in 30-some countries, and I learned about these things. I was overseas 14 years. And he called me and told me that these foreign officers were manning the surveillance systems at Fort Meade, these surveillance systems, which are probably Carnivore and Echelon, were manning the systems. They were in foreign uniform, and they were in our classified or secret spaces, as you might say in civilian term, their rooms up there, and manning the surveillance systems so they're spying on American citizens. And Edward Snowden was correct. He was correct, and he was right. And that was, I knew that many years before he was put on the scene and told us all about that. Edward Snowden was a hero. He let us know that our own government is spying on us. I don't believe even he knows to the extent, okay? They can tap your phone at any time, listen to you anywhere. Satan would like to be omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He is pretty much omniscient right now with all the sensing devices and all the recording devices. He is not omnipresent by any means, but since the Bibles have been changed since 1971, the church has lost its power, and Satan is gaining power, and the more power that the church loses, the more power Satan gains. And if we keep changing the Bibles, and as the wicked translators have been doing for some years, sending the false versions of the Bible around the world, we lose power. And here we find ourselves now with our phones being tapped. We've lost the power. Spiritual power comes out of a Bible called the Authorized Version, and physical power comes out of a gun barrel. So if they can take the guns, they now have this physical power, and Satan will be more almost omnipotent in the world. But the Lord's going to stop that. Don't fear that. But there are things happening. And listening to us all around is unnerving. But then again, fear not. You need to be praying. You need to be up fasting. You need to be gathering together with groups, small groups, and be in fellowship. Those of you who are born again, saved, make sure you have the right Bible and a hymn book. And be not of the world. Contemporary music is of the world. The meaning of contemporary is of this present world. And Jesus told us to be in the world, but not of the world. Do not go along with these new fads that have come out since the late beginning of the 80s, after the NIV Bible came out, right about 1970, we saw a great loss of power in the church. They would have me talk about the Amazon robot that talks to you. It's called Alexa. Well, I can't address that. But also, she's mentioned the Samsung microphones and the smart TVs. Now, I just happened to have a friend who went out and had another friend who took one of these TVs apart, and there is a camera in there, and they can record stuff when they want to, and with the use of burst communications, that means they can store up the data for maybe 6 weeks, And in a split second or two, they can ping that television set, and that data can be downloaded to a truck going by or to an aircraft going over. And that's one of the two ways, several ways they can do that. So they can record you. So I'd be very cautious about having TVs in the house or any electronic device. Any electronic device is a problem, okay? You need to go out and... Any electronic device is a problem. Cell phones, smartphones, iPads, even your TV set, the high-definition TV set. If you recall back just before the end of the Clinton administration, they wanted everybody to have a converter. They were going to give everybody $100 to buy a converter. That's so that the old folks who didn't want to buy a new digital TV to get a converter, and they'd convert digital signal down to analog so they could put it in your front room. That converter had a sticker on that said, if you break this sticker, you lose your warranty. They didn't want you messing inside of that converter. Okay? Then came out the surge of digital television sets, and now that's probably everybody's got a digital TV right now, especially the Samsung. They are smart, and you can be sure you're being monitored almost at will. There's no doubt about it. Now, as far as your cell phone goes, if you go down to a surplus store and get yourself a 30 caliber ammo box, make sure it's not bent in any way, shape, or form, and then go to Goodwill and look around for an old-fashioned, I would call it a gourmet cookie box. The word for the thing in England is a biscuit tin. We would say they're a fancy cookie box. They're metal. And they come down real tight. They have a top that seals very tightly. If the phone, at this point in time, if the phone is inside the metal biscuit tin and inside the ammo box, I have found out they cannot track you. They cannot ping you. They don't know where your phone is. Of course, you can't use the phone in there, but that's okay. But when you do use it, you make your phone call, put it back in the box, and move out. I'm not worried so much about our own government forces. That's not what we're worried about. We're worried about foreign forces that are in our country right now, to the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people here. Their programs are funded. They're spying on us. They're watching us. We just had a foreign policeman in our town. He had a big sign on his car, police, blue letters, white van, dark windows, and no other identification on the side of that van. I called the sheriff and told him, Sheriff, I've been telling you about these foreign cops for many years. They're here now, and they're in our county. And we spoke about this on the last program, which I was the host, the foreign police. And so they're here. Their listening devices are around us, amongst us. This is just, it's here, folks. It is here now. It's in our midst. You just have to understand that. You have to understand that. When you have a cell phone, you put it inside those two boxes. You leave it turned on. Have somebody call you when you have five bars of signal and see if they get a hold of you. First, then you have them call you first with it in your hand. Then you put it in the box. Do not move your position. Have the same five bars of signal. You put it in the box and have them ring it and see if they can get through to it and ring your phone. They can ring your phone. Well, we're going to have to go back to square one and start looking for something more secure. But at this point in time, they can't. I once had my cell phone set up inside of the biscuit tin, and it couldn't be touched. It could not be rung. Later on, I put it in the biscuit tin on a new phone 2 years later, and it was picked up in the biscuit tin. It did pick up the signal inside that candy box. Then I put it inside the ammo box, and it could not be touched. Okay, that's one way of keeping your stuff from being used. Of course, you make your phone call, put it back in the box, and move on. We live in a, this is a reality, folks. This is the reality that we are now in. Now, here she adds here, the smart television and satellite surveillance. Satellites used to fly at 140 miles. They're roving satellites. They now switched them over the LEO, the low Earth orbit, the LEO sats. They operate at about 80 miles. That is almost twice as close as they were when they were going around some years back. They are now at only 80 miles up. They have better amplifiers. They have better surveillance sensors on them. And you can believe the constellation, and a constellation of satellites, there may be six or seven satellites in a constellation that are orbiting, going around the Earth, and they have them timed so that they keep the Earth under surveillance. And I'm sure you've seen Google Earth. You can Google your house and look at your house. You can see your house sitting on the street. We are under surveillance continually. But then again, fear not, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. Okay? She says here, could you talk about when you first learned of the red, blue, and green lists? Well, back in 95, I happened to see a book on a shelf at a flea market. It was the Hitler's SS, The Story of the Death's Head. And it was written in Germany in 66. It was written by Heinz Hone. And it was translated into English, and I didn't think I should buy it, but I felt an urge, and I bought it. In there, we find that the Germans had a red, green, and a blue list of picking people up. The red list, and the blue list, and the green list. Red list would be picked up prior to unobtrusive preparations for martial law or mobilization being initiated. The blue list would be picked up upon publication of martial law and or mobilization. And the green list were just plain old bad guys who they were going to watch and see, just plain crooks. And they wanted to watch the crooks. And this is the red, blue, and green list. I'm fully believing now. We know that in 1995, I started seeing red, blue, and green signs on the highways. And this is what was going on. They had, in Eastern Europe, they used military convoy route markers. And Eastern Europe, during the Cold War, the people did not have maps. And the roads were not marked pointing west or east. The military had the maps. Therefore, the military were the only ones who knew which way they were going on the roads. That's why they didn't want that, because they didn't want the people to escape eastward to the wall, which is built all around those Eastern European countries. And so nobody had maps. But what they did was they put up military convoy route markers for the troops and the military forces to follow. Same thing was set up here in the mid-90s. The Clinton administration allowed these signs to be set up all around this country, and they were there. In fact, you will see green route, red route, and blue route detours in Pennsylvania. You'll still see them. If you ask what they are, no one will know. Usually you would see two numbers and two letters on little signs. They were all over the place. You just didn't recognize them. And I'm sure that those were either kilometer markers or mile markers, but most likely kilometer markers, because Europe uses a kilometer system and the metric system. And they have been for years trying to convert us to the metric system so that these foreigners over here, the regents that are going to be running the show, wouldn't have to convert miles into kilometers. And you will notice kilometers are coming up on these signs right now as we speak. Anyhow, I had the honor of being able to find this thing and figure it out. And then one day Steve Quayle had a programmer call him and said that he'd been to FEMA, a programmer, one of their computers, And he was picked up on a street corner in Washington and put inside of a van with no windows in it, taken to a site where he had a computer. And he found on that computer 6.2 million names of people on a red and blue list. So there was the kicker. We found we had a red and blue list in 96. Later on, a friend of mine was talked to by an FBI agent in Richmond. He said, look, CIA fellow intercepted this communique, and we have a list here of names, with names and social security numbers, and it said it's the Region 3 blue list. Well, Steve took it and looked at it, and he found his name on it, his father's name, his son's name. He found Richard's name up in Culpeper, Virginia. Richard is a conservative businessman. He found Jim's name on it in Louisa County. Jim was a prepper, you might say, and he built a house with dirt over the top of it, a special house, way back in the late 70s. And he found his name on it. So there we had the Region 3 blue list. We do know that the country has been divided up into 10 FEMA regions under Nixon. And we have 10 FEMA regions. If you're in Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Washington, D.C., Virginia, West Virginia, you are in the Region 3 list. They divided the country up into 10 FEMA regions. Now, this is illegal. The Constitution says that you can only divide your country up into states, not any other kind of regions, but they've done it. And then we find out, I've known for years that we had I called it a basement cabinet operating behind the scenes. Ollie North referred to it as the parallel government. And when Dick Cheney went into the bunkers after 9/11, he took people with him called the shadow government. Tom Daschle said on TV, Senator Daschle asked him about the shadow government, and he said, I don't know anything about a shadow government. Well, right, Senator, we're supposed to have a constitutional government, not a shadow government. Folks, that entity now is being defined as on the news as we listen every night or whatever. It's called deep state. Deep state. Deep state is the ones who are now running this show. Now, let me tell you something. We've been given by God Almighty a little more time by the election of Donald Trump. But there is no way that this is going to be sorted out by Mr. Trump and his administration. Although if he succeeds in putting in new directors of departments and divisions, the directors, the department heads, commerce, agriculture, homeland security, and so forth, they will not have, even if someone could tell the president about the existence of these people that are operating behind the scenes, and hey, he would believe you, he'd be hard-pressed to have his departmental heads to find these people. The government is huge, folks. It is huge beyond anything most of you understand. I worked with it for 31 years, and especially 1 year at the Commerce Department. There are programs up there in Homeland Security hidden two levels down, and they're run by professional career civil servants who have been put into office over the past 20 years, 15 years, and they are the deep state. For example, the foreign cops that are here are funded by six different programs. And I enumerated these on the last program we talked about. We talked about them, and they're here. And the departmental head, is it Kelly in the Homeland Security? Kelly probably hasn't been able to even figure out very little about what he's doing in his job. He just has been put in charge, and he has some idea. But if he doesn't know about these operations that are going on in our country, let me explain something to you, okay? In the past 15 years, there have been 8 chemical plants explode. There have been 8 refineries explode. There have been two fertilizer plants explode. There have been, has been one sugar plant explode. About 10 pipelines have exploded. They're 3 feet deep underground. They don't explode. They've had numerous houses explode around the country. You've had numerous bridges dropped on both ends around the country. And you've had numerous trains derailed and crude oil on them, and crude oil exploded. Well, crude oil does not explode. Crude oil has to have a catalytic device, either pyrotechnic or it has to be a heated source to make crude oil burn. Crude oil will not explode. But yet the people believe all this. Somebody has been doing all of this. They had two bridges in Atlanta collapse just recently. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. A homeless person burning a trash pile under a highway bridge cannot collapse that bridge. Even a tanker truck of gasoline under that bridge cannot burn that bridge down. Cannot do that. That's impossible. Gasoline cannot melt steel. Forget it. It will not work. Okay? Gasoline can't burn any hotter than 500 degrees, 460, 560 degrees Celsius. Mild steel with no alloy in it melts at 1,100. And it's inside the concrete. There's no way that a homeless person burned down that bridge in Atlanta. They charged a guy with setting a fire that brought the bridge down. It didn't happen that way. That cannot happen. It's against the laws of physics. So all of these things that are going on, these are operations against us. These are operations. For example, back in 95, there was an exercise at Forcecom wherein the military and civilian administrators for different areas met and had an exercise down there. Forcecom was located in the southwest portion of Atlanta. And one of the National Guard guys who was participating in the exercise noticed two foreigners in uniforms at the lunch tables between classes. He said, "What are you guys doing here?" "Oh, we're here to blow up the Belvedere bridges to stop people from escaping. We're simulating blowing up the Belvedere bridges." Yeah. Oh. That little Georgia boy would have liked the urge to kill. But this was going on back in 1995. And they're here, and somebody's paying these people. Someone is paying these people to do these things, okay? All these things that have exploded around our country, you have to have a memory, and you have to be able to mentally keep track of them. I have mentally kept track of them. And all these derailments on these trains have taken place in critical venues that have caused damage and death, especially in Canada. 47 people died when a load of Bakken oil out of the Dakotas came through and in a town when it derailed. I've got a friend of mine who's a retired CSX engineer. He says, all these derailments cannot be happenstance. Now, all these operations that I just mentioned are being funded by somebody. And there be these departmental heads and a couple of them, either state or Homeland Security or FEMA, wherever. Somebody is funding and paying these people, and they are employed in our country right now. Deep state is employing these people to do these kind of things. All of a sudden, you might think, well, oh, yeah, I remember we talked about a chemical plant blew up, and then we had another one blow up. And gee, there was a refinery that blew up. Well, these things just do not happen normally. Another one of the things that's going on is you notice all the roofs are being stained. Our house roofs are being stained with this black stain running down it. This didn't happen 30 years ago, folks. I'm old enough to know. You didn't have houses getting stained roofs on them 30 years ago. But now we do. And some of this is chemtrails, and it's being done from aerial surveillance, and aerial spraying, and aerial dispersal. This is going on in our country. Look, folks, I held a top secret code word clearance. For 18 years, I was a top secret. In about 6 years, my last six, I was above that. You're not listening to a nut talking here. I have sat back and watched this and recorded it all and went around the world talking about it, as many others have, but I had the expertise of the biblical end of it, the Bible end of it. I just read you part of it in 2 Timothy, and you can look at it in Matthew 24. You see all these things coming. And it's here. It is upon us, and we don't have much time. Now, we always thought time was short, but time is even shorter now. And I fully believe before the end of this year, if we don't have divine intervention, we're going to have a full-blown civil war. It's going to make the last civil war look like an infantry platoon firefight. Because we have some people out there who are angry, and they are being stoked by leaders, verbal leaders who are very, very visible. I could name a few of them. And behind the scenes, they are planning. This one group that was demonstrating here over the past few months had a sign on the bottom of the signs that were pre-printed was the Communist Party of America. The Communist Party of America was the ones who printed the signs. Okay? So this is being done to us, and all these things that are going on, there are funding programs located in these government agencies that are paying these people to do this stuff. And you have what you call a program element. In the president's budget, every government entity has a part of the president's budget, and they have a program element, especially the military. You have a program element monitor, and he monitors certain portions of this budget, all this money. I was one of those guys for 2 years on the air staff. Everything has to be funded. Everything is funded, and the way to find it is to find the funds. But Mr. Trump's department heads will not be able to find the funding. They won't be. If I could tell them and prove it was going on, as I'm trying to show you now, they would be hard-pressed to find out where these guys are. Where are these people? Where is this money being dispersed? I mean, there's, you know, when you have a budget as big as the United States, you've got paymasters all over the place. They're keeping track of all these program elements of the funding, okay? And they know, but to locate these guys and figure them out and find where they are, it's a massive job, and I don't believe it can be done. I don't believe that. Mr. Kelly, I think he's a department head. If he went down trying to go through, if he had people who told the honest truth, you see, these people that are doing all this stuff, this deep state people, they're ensconced in the top of our government. They are ensconced, and it's a shadow government. It's called deep state. We finally now find the word deep state. They're there, and can we find them? I don't know if we can find him or not. I don't believe we can find him. First of all, you've got to make somebody believe that this is going on. They must believe this is going on before they can set together a system or a program to try to find where this funding is. And those of you who've never been in the government, you don't realize the magnitude and how big it is. There are programs upon programs upon programs. And to sort through it and find out who's funding who, find out how the money is being paid to these foreign cops that are here operating. We just had one right here in this town with police on the side of it. I told you about it. It showed up in two different towns the same day. He didn't belong to this county sheriff. He didn't belong to the state troopers. He was his own man. But his federal ID card, and he's got a big white sedan, and he may have a dog in there too, a big white SUV van, and there's probably a dog in there and a cage inside that car. I've seen strange cages inside of these cars that are made up of high-tech steel patterns that do not resemble what our own sheriff's deputies use. They have other type vans that are with fine mesh, 1/8-inch by 2-inch slots. In a very high-tech cage. You cannot see if there's anybody in there. The makeup of the manufacturer of this cage prevents you from seeing light coming through where you can see if there's anybody in there. And, of course, on the right-hand side of the car, it opens, and the cage is on the right-hand side. I've seen these. And they're out there. We had a state trooper try to stop one of these foreign cops. He stopped him, and the guy was nasty. And he said, I'll stop him anyhow. He had a federal ID card. One deputy tried to stop him, and the guy turned on his blue light and just kept on going. they're here and they're being paid. And they're being paid by one of these department heads in our government. And their houses and their uniforms, their weapons are all being paid for by borrowed tax dollars that have been appropriated by the Congress of the United States. That's what's going on. You say, oh, I can't believe that. Well, it is. But to try to sort them out and find who they are is very difficult. And so we found out that there were red and blue lists and green lists. Sure enough, they came up on a FEMA computer. They have lists of names. Back in 96, it was 6.2 million people. What do you think it is now? How many years has that been? 96? 16? That's 12 years gone by. How big has the list become? Are you on it? Most likely. It depends on what color. Red, and they also, I believe, have on also a yellow list. Red is the soon to be picked up before martial law. Blue list upon declaration of martial law. The green list will be used. They have a yellow list, I believe, also. Those people who they think they can use in turn or re-educate. And then the green list, people who they can use to do their bidding. All right? And this is the role. And this is, she asked you, the role of FEMA. Well, this is, I've explained the role of FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. Back in 84, I went over to FEMA, or 85, went over to FEMA, and they had they had code word clearances. What are you guys doing? What's flood and mud doing with code word clearances? Flood and mud? Well, FEMA's got a budget, and about 85% of FEMA's budget is black. Nobody knows where it's going to. Suppose the Intelligence Committee of the Senate, the Intelligence Committee of the House of Representatives, supposed to know, but you don't know what they know. They don't know what they know. Everything's based on lies, folks. Satan does everything on lies. And this whole thing has been set up, it's masterminded, and it's in operation, and it's funded. So what are we going to do? You better pray a lot. You need to pray a lot. She asked here the plan to round up the Christians, and well, they do. We've talked about the list of names. I'm sure that Pat Robertson and Alex Jones and Steve Quayle and many, many others, the good guys, are on the list. I'm certain I'm on the list. I know some of my friends are on the blue list that we talked about back in 1995, and they're still on it. So there are, she says here, Christians of Christendom and Jews pointing out that only a part of the Jews are involved in this. Now, there are some high-paid, high rollers. I've been to Israel 12 times, and I'm trying to rescue the Jewish folks from this Holocaust that's coming, but there are some of them that are sold out. There are people who are sold out, just like the Gentiles will sell out. And there are some folks up there in high places that have a lot of money. And George Soros is one of them. Okay, Soros is one of them that's selling out. Now, he is selling out the Jewish people. Okay, you have Edward Bronfman. He had a great big slaughterhouse built down in this county, and it was supposed to be for slaughtering buffalo. Found out it was for slaughtering other things in Buffalo, but one day, praise the Lord, it burned down. They were trying to thaw out some pipes that were put up over this concrete wall inside of it, and the lights, the lamps up there toppled over and set the place on fire, burned it down. It's gone now. It's called Buffalo Hill. It even had satanic symbols on the gateposts, the entrance gateposts. But this was a high roller who built this slaughterhouse. It was to be used for other purposes. And I certified the building of it. I went and took pictures when they were building it. But they have these things all over the country. These facilities are all over this country. Down on the Kanawha River in West Virginia, not far from Charleston, is a huge concrete building with smokestacks on it. And nobody knows what it's for. So I said, is it by a railroad track? Yeah, the railroad track runs right along the river. When I was stationed at Richards Bower on temporary duty in 1977, there was a huge blockhouse, a huge concrete building about four or five stories high. No one knew what it was. No one knew what it was. The base commander, as far as we know, was told, keep your hands off of it. It's there for a purpose. So don't you worry about it. It's classified. They've got the facilities all set up, you know, and it's done by FEMA. And now it's Homeland Security. And our poor Jewish brothers are being set up. Satan hates the seed of Abraham by the flesh, the Jews, and he hates the seed of Abraham by the Spirit, the Christians. So there's a concentrated campaign to round up Christians and Jews. I talked to a friend of mine, called me and back in 2000 and said, Al, a Navy intelligence agent came around and said that I was on a list. What am I going to do? I said, well, first thing you should do is get the right Bible, because the New American Standard is not the right Bible. Stop using it to go around teaching. Use the King James. And a lieutenant colonel called me 3 weeks later and said, the same lady told him, you know, two FBI agents came by here and told me that they intercepted a communique showing that they were going to put detention cells in these four international airports in our country, and they're going to have guards and cops in there, and they're going to, when the Muslims riot, now this is back in 2000, when the Muslims riot, the Jews will try to flee, and they'll catch them at the airports. Well, I can tell you now, there's detention cells in these airports. My friend Elizabeth came to Atlanta and found a detention cell there. They took her into interim space, was questioning her, and finally they decided to let her go. And she said a soldier in a gray uniform took her out and put her back on the concourse. An armed soldier in a gray uniform. Well, we don't have soldiers in gray uniforms. We find out that Midland, Texas, if you go to Midland, Texas, out there near it's on the west end of Texas. It's got Midland International Airport. It's a little tiny duster strip almost, and yet it's an international airport. Midland International Airport in Midland, Texas. It's between, I forget the two towns, just between. But I've been out there. I've been to both those towns, and I saw that airport. So they've got foreign cops put in these airports. As I may have told you in the last time, Carol Ann Goodbaum died at the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport at the hands of some police. I think I read the thing on the radio. She died. She was taken into custody. She died a terrible death. We know that the cells are all under surveillance, and nobody could come up with surveillance. Sounds like 911, doesn't it? All those cameras, four on the side of the Pentagon, one on the Sheraton Hotel, one at the Henderson Hall gas station, PX gas station. That's about six cameras right there that I know of, and no one had a video of any airplane hitting the Pentagon. So we're under surveillance, but they only use it to our detriment. They don't use it to our benefit. So here we are. In 2017, with all this going down. And fortunately, by the grace of God, Donald Trump was elected. If it went the other way to Hillary Clinton, folks, we would have been deep, deep trouble by now. We would have been very deep trouble. And I'm telling you, folks, if you haven't read the Clinton Chronicles about Hillary Clinton, and that Bill Clinton, written by Larry Nichols, showing it was a videotape. That's just small stuff in there. What's going on? Every time you turn around, someone who's associated with the Clintons has died or murdered. Okay, this is going on right as we speak. the powers that be, the shadow government, the deep state, operates behind the scenes. They're in power now, and there's very little you can do about it except pray. There are, on that police list, at least 45 or 50 different police logos and or identification. For instance, out in Fresno, they had this Northwest Area Police back in the 98, 99. I saw the Northwest Area Police, but nobody knew who the Northwest Area Police was. No one knew at all. Now, the Intelligent Highway System. Since 94, 95, I noticed them putting sensors under the road. And at first, I was a little afraid to go up to the person who was putting the stuff up. We thought that might be the actual people who were armed and so forth. No, that was contractors. The whole Intelligent Highway System put together by Lockheed Martin, it's all over the country. You'll see a little box right there, and that little box says Intelligent Highway System. It doesn't say Intelligent Highway System. It says traffic counter. Sometimes it has a solar panel on it. Sometimes it has a satellite antenna on it. If you're out in the country and they have no cable, they put it on a satellite. If there's no power, they put solar power to make it run. They're all over the country. They're along the road in a little square box. Sometimes there is no square box. Sometimes they're just sensors cut in the road. Once they pave over that stitch of highway, then you don't know where it is. They can ping your cell phone. They can ping your cell phone as you go down the road. They also know the GPS on your cell phone, but they can ping your cell phone and ping it. Unless it's inside that metal box I talked about, they got you. Everybody in the car that's got a cell phone is identified right then and there. Zip, zip, and they're all identified. Intelligent Highway System, okay, was put together by Lockheed Martin, as I recall. It's been placed in all our highways, all of our highways. I had a legislator here named Jay Katzen. He was up in Northern Virginia, up in about, I would say, almost Northern Virginia. And I went to his house one day. And on this little road, here's one of these boxes sitting along the road. I said, hey, Jay, see that box down there? I said, that's the Intelligent Highway System. That's the IHS. They got one of those things right down there, quarter mile from your house. When you go out over that thing, it can ting you, and they'll know where you are, and they're ticking tabs on you, because he was a real conservative guy in the state legislature. I said, why in the world would they put one of those things on a little road as small as your road with not even a center line in it? Well, he moved. He got up and moved. He moved a couple hundred miles away. But they have targeted certain people, the Intelligent Highway System, and it can ping you with your cell phone, and it will certainly be able to ping the cars. First of all, we knew that you could put it tags and license plates where they could ping you, but now we know that it'll ping the cell phones. And once they pave over the cut, the slots in the highway, and there's no one of those, they're using one of the modules without a box, they have little green things that stick out of the ground about 8 inches in diameter. They stick up. And once they have paved over that first initial slice in the pavement, and they repave it every 5 years or so, they repave it, right? You won't know where, you won't locate it, you can't locate it. And you go zooming down the road, and they know exactly where you are. There's the omniscience of Satan, and his omniscience, he can track you wherever you go. And the computer systems have gotten so fast now, they can track anybody, anywhere. The speed of these computers is amazing. Way back in the 80s when the Cray computer came out, the Russians were paranoid because we had a computer called the Cray computer. And it could work so fast that it could solve their key and algorithms on their crypto circuits, on their cryptological circuits. And they were trying to change their circuits every day. They had to change their code, their key code, every day, because they were paranoid about the high-speed Cray computer. But the Cray computer now is in the dark ages compared to what we have out there now. And it's amazing. Well, you know, the Bible says, they shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And knowledge has been increased, and we are there now. This is where we are. We are now in this age right now. And the intelligent highway system, you look around, you see these little boxes. That's the intelligent highway system. You see the slices in the pavement. That's the slices where they put the sensors. Now, what about the AWOS towers? All of you know that there are black helicopters. I shouldn't have to tell you that a black helicopter is flying here. The automatic weather observation system. I noticed these things back in 95 when one was put on our county line. They're about every 60 miles. They have a tower. It has a spinner on it for wind speed. It has some canisters hanging off of it. And the one here has been talked about. I've talked about it so much that they have now put an Omnicam on it so that it can be watched 360 degrees if somebody sneaks up on it to destroy it. They put an Omnicam on it. And they have cameras that shine right down. They have sensors under the highway. The sensors under the highway tells this is for operations of aircraft and helicopters. See, we have in our country now the Treaty on Open Skies. It allows the overflight of our country ostensibly to verify strategic arms limitations and so forth like that, and reduction of nuclear weapons. And Mr. Clinton and Mr. Bush signed, let 67 countries sign the Treaty on Open Skies. They can fly over your house, fly around your house. You can't do a thing about it because the treaty supersedes the Constitution. So here we are with these planes flying. So to keep them back in the 90s, to keep them from calling in and saying, hey, what's the weather there in Buffalo? Instead of calling in for the weather with a foreign accent, they built a system. Scan Corporation builds the automatic weather observation systems, and Surface Systems maintains them. How do I know that? Because I've talked to the guys. I stop and talk to the guys who are maintaining these towers. They have retired Navy guys, retired Navy ETs, electronic technicians they've hired to maintain these systems. The electronic technician, he doesn't know who runs the system. He just knows how to maintain the sensors along the road or where they locate the AWOS tower. You'll see one in Fredericksburg, Virginia. You'll see one in Leesburg, Virginia. You'll see one in Madison County, Virginia. You'll see one on Afton Mountain. They're 30 to 60 miles apart. You'll see one in Fredericksburg on I-95, right at Route 17 and I-95. They have all kinds of aviation weather on them. Why in the world do you need aviation weather? We have our own system for our own pilots and our own general aviation, but they didn't want them calling in their foreign accents, so they built their own separate system. And they're out there right now. I've seen them. In fact, I went up and took a picture one time up of the one that's up near Warrenton, Virginia. And what do you know? When the film came back, that picture was missing. Now, how'd they do that? I don't know. But that picture was missing. I took it in. The guy was working on the box. And I walked up behind him and took a picture of it. And then I talked to the guy. When the film came back, it was gone. I'm telling you, folks, this thing's all-encompassing. But then again, you should not be fearful. Okay, you don't need to be fearful. If you're born again saved, if you die, you're going to be with Jesus, right? She asked here, Al, what about the disposable phones that we get free from Big Brother? Well, I can tell you this much. Based on what I've learned over the past 30 years, those, what do they call them, FAC phones, I forget what they call them, track phones, that you buy them at Walmart, it would appear that you're not, you don't have any identification in there, but you never know, you know, you never know. Everything is subject to being surveilled and watched. This is the fact of life that we live in today. Since I've left the government in 1990, I have watched this stuff go in leaps and bounds, all types of technology, and it's here, it's upon us. And I'm not sure about the disposable phones. It said, what you say here, what is the role of the ham radio and shortwave in helping to keep our freedom? Well, the ham guys can operate and talk to each other through HF radio, high frequency radio. I am sure that they're probably cataloged. They've got them. They've got all got call signs, and they know where they are. If you have a ham radio, if you have a ham radio, you can certainly listen in shortwave radio. You should get a new shortwave radio. However, some of the bands have been taken off. They have changed. They've taken some of the bands off of these radios because New World Order and the Deep State are using these communications. If your police department has a radio system, you notice recently they came in and give you a digital radio system. You used to have three channels. Well, digital gives you great capability that we didn't have under analog. And now they've taken half the radio channels and give your police three channels, and they've got three more channels over there. Nobody knows who they belong to. And I'm sure these channels are reserved for deep state operatives. I remember back in the late 90s, I was allowed to hear some taping of a Bearcat scanner who taped Russian voices on the FEMA channels, VHF and UHF channels, in out near Des Moines. And I heard the guy say, Nichevo, Nichevo. Well, that means nothing or think nothing of it in Russian. I had a whole tape of Russian, and I went to the library and got me a Russian language tape. I speak five languages. And I listened to the Russian tape for about 6 weeks, and I can now identify Russian when I hear it. I recognize Russian immediately. It has a distinct sound, and they are operating plenty of, there are many, many Russians operating in our country. We do know that back in 1998, when I went to Denver to speak, I was told by a police officer, Al, we got a problem out here. We've got guys wearing black uniforms. They have international crimes enforcement badges. They have SLOV, Slovenia, stickers on their car. They have diplomatic plates, honorary proconsul. We can't stop them. And Al, they have Makarov pistols. The Makarov pistols were shipped in 1994. It's Stone Arsenal. Here we are, folks. We have now come to time in history. You need to be praying. You need to be reading your Bible, getting together in groups, and doing a lot of praying to the Lord. And then be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that about shut down the program for this week. I haven't wanted to alarm you, but there is alarm out there. There is certainly things to be alarmed about. You need to be praying with your brothers and sisters. And Lord willing, I'll see you again on another program. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And I would say shalom, shalom. And I'm Yisrael Chai Tamid. See you next time, folks. Bye-bye now.